you don't have a Bible, I greatly encourage you to go buy one. It'll be well worth the money, trust me. Right? Just lift your hand in the air, nice and high, until we pass these out. Third John, the third epistle of John, verse 2. Today, my second part of the series on finances and giving. Today, the title message is Poverty or Prosperity? I'm getting a little feedback on this, okay? 3 John, verse 2. He says, Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you. God, we bless you today, Lord. We thank you, God, that it's your will, God, it's your heart's desire, God, that the children of God would prosper. God, that we'd be in good health, Lord, and that our soul would prosper. Lord, and we just come together, God, as a family of believers, Lord, and we grab a hold of that promise in our lives, God, regardless of what our circumstances speak. And so, Lord, we ask that you would teach us now, God, about money, about finances, about giving, Lord, about economics. Lord, begin to teach us through your word, God. Lord, release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us, God, individually and corporately as a body. God, we thank you for this time. We bless you for it. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 Poverty or prosperity? Why don't you look to your neighbor, right? Say, hey, good looking, left and right side, and say, God's will for you is to prosper. See, you need to start off from there, okay? You have to have a very clear idea of what that means. God's heart, I mean, he says it in John, he says it all throughout, right? He says, Beloved, I pray in all respects that you may prosper, right? That you may walk in fullness, you know, and that you'd be in good health and as your soul prospers, right? There's something about what God wants to do in our lives. He wants you to be blessed. You know, don't let anyone fool you or take that away from you. God's desire, if we're going to say it plainly, God's plan A is for you to walk in prosperity. You know, it's for you to be so blessed in your life. Prosperity, again, not poverty, is God's intention for our lives, right? It is He that gives us power to get wealth. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We read this last week a little bit. Some of these verses that you'll begin to memorize them because they're going to be so profound in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. It's part of the first five books. That's called the Torah. Deuteronomy 8, 18. It says, But you should remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving you power to make wealth, and that He may confirm His covenant which He swore to your fathers, as it in this day. And then one of my favorite verses, Proverbs 10, 22. Proverbs 10, 22 said, This is a blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. What a great verse, right? Who gives the ability to make wealth? It's God, right? Now, see, this is the difference. Obviously, we know there's a lot of unrighteous people that have a lot of wealth, right? The key with God's ability to make wealth is He adds no sorrow to it, right? The Christian that operates in this, right, is not worried, you know, or we like to say hopefully, right? This is also plan A. Is not worried about the money that you have, not worried about how to invest the money that you have, right? That God will speak in ministry through relationship, right? It's God that gives the ability, and He adds no sorrow to it. You know, I don't know about you, but, you know, I know a few rich people in my life, you know, and it's such a, for me, as I, you know, I hang around with these people, there's such a huge dichotomy between the Christian and the non-Christian. You know, the Christian, you know, on the most part is very relaxed, you know, loses some money, it's okay, right? I mean, God can make it up. You know, but the other person, you know, that has not have a faith in Christ, you know, lose a bit and they just go nuts. You know, I was having lunch today with one of our church people who's in wealth management. She was just sharing about how, you know, work and everything's been and how, you know, these people that, you know, they lose a little bit and they're just going nuts on the telephone. You know, and that's definitely adding sorrow to it. You know what I mean? So that's exactly what he's talking about here. You know, and so understanding that there are laws of poverty and there's laws of prosperity. And we're just going to basically unpack the scriptures a little bit, you know, and just kind of pinpoint these things to kind of help us along in this process. Turn to Proverbs chapter 24. And, you know, we're going to actually spend a lot of time in Proverbs because it's the book of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30. This is the law of poverty. Now, the way the law of poverty works, it doesn't mean that you're poor, okay, in essence, you know. It doesn't mean that you have no money in your bank account or whatnot, but poverty is a mindset. You know, poverty is almost a, kind of like a state of being in the way a person operates in their life. And so the law of poverty in Proverbs 24 says this. This is verse 30 and down. It says, I passed by a field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We get the law of prosperity. And I'm going to unpack this for you. If you didn't understand that Proverbs, just wait as we get rolling here. Proverbs chapter 6, starting from verse 6. And it says, go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise. Having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. All right, this is the difference, right? The law of poverty, the law of prosperity. I'm going to break this down, these chapters and whatnot. I'm going to break this down into four R's, so make it really simple for us. All right, these four R's relate to the laws of poverty and the laws of prosperity. Again, God wants you to walk in prosperity. Okay, I need to take a step back and make a side note on that as well, right? Now, does that mean that if I'm not rich, that I'm not prosperous? No, that's not what it means, right? It's not an exact one-to-one correlation. Because the other flip side is, well, if I'm not living in prosperity, does that mean that I'm not blessed by God? No, of course not, right? We're talking about mindsets. We're talking about, you know, things that people kind of gear their life towards, right? The four R's related to poverty and prosperity. Number one, reward. Reward. The first R is reward. Luke 10, verse 7 says, the laborer is worthy of his wages. Other way of saying that, a laborer is worthy of his reward, right? And so you work, you ought to receive a reward. So you got to understand, your employer is not doing you a special favor by giving you a paycheck every week, every 2 weeks, or every month. You know, it's sad sometimes. We have employers, you know, that feel like they're doing you a special favor because they're paying you. No. The law of reward is, right, that you do your work, you receive a reward, right? Plain and simple, right? Make it clear. Turn to your neighbor. Say, hey, good looking. Work equals reward. Okay? Don't worry. This is not an econ class, right? So you guys don't have to get all nervous as we continue on here. You know, whatever your vocation, your wages are yours, okay? They're yours. You receive this thing. You know, you earn them. It's not a gift. You know what I mean? A gift is getting something that you don't deserve, right? You know, and so we're not talking about a gift. This is your righteous reward. If you work, you should get a reward, right? That's why if you're working and your employer is not paying you, they're breaking the law, right? You know, they're subverting this process of work and reward. And that's obviously, it's not good. When you work hard, God demands, God's law demands that you will receive your reward. Proverbs 28, verse 19. Proverbs 28:19. It says, he who tills the land, in other words, we're saying he who works hard will have plenty of food. But he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty in plenty. Right? Lord, it's very clear. You work hard, right? You're going to have plenty of food, right? In other words, you're going to have reward. Work hard, reward comes. Right? If you're currently working hard, expect to receive your just reward. Plain and simple. Okay? You know, now, there's the flip side of this as well. That no work equals no reward. And we obviously know this very well, you know, especially people, you know, maybe you're out of a job right now, or, you know, before you started working, you knew, well, if I'm not going to work, I'm not going to get any reward, right? It's plain and simple. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 is very clear. 1 Timothy 5, 8. It says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. All right, this is some serious words, right? That's why, you know, ladies, you want to get married, right? Make sure guy's got a job, you know? I mean, plain and simple, right? I mean, he's got to provide, you know, or I should say this, or, right, has the character, right, of a person that will work hard. Because some of you guys know my wife married me when I didn't have a job. So, right, that's faith, right? That's pure faith. And so, you know, and this is, you know, because a primary need of women is for security. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, someone, you know, finding a suitable help, you know, a helpmate, a husband or a wife or whatnot that's stable, you know, obviously, and can provide some security. You know, that's not gold digging. That's not, you know, unless you're thinking, okay, you better make this type of money, you know, or something like that, then that's a whole other story, right? But there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And so, and Paul wrote to Timothy, his son, he made it very clear. You know, 2 Thessalonians 3:10, you just write it down, I'll just go quickly. It says, if anyone will not work, neither let him eat, right? Very clear, right? You're not going to work, guess what? You're not going to eat. You know, it's just plain and simple. This is the law of reward, okay? You work hard, you should expect a reward. In life, it's the same thing, right? You work hard in your job, you expect a reward. That's just part of living, part of life, right? So that one, really simple. We figured that one out. Number two, now we're going to get a little more complex as we go along. I shouldn't say complex. It's not difficult to understand, but just a little deeper. Number two, it's a law of release. The second R, right, is release. The law of release. You have to be willing to release for increase. Okay, nice little rhyme, plain and simple, right? I used to be a rapper back in the days, right? So, you know, right? You're willing to release for the increase. Proverbs chapter 11, let's go there. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. There is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. There is one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. The word watered, actually, in Hebrew, is actually a really good word. The literal definition is fat, right? In other words, you know, a generous man says will be prosperous. He who waters, right, will himself be watered, will himself be fat. You know, and I'm not talking about like extra weight, you know. I'm talking about, you know, like a good kind of fat, like this guy's enjoying life kind of fat, you know. And so like my kind of fat, right? And so this means, right, he who waters will himself be watered. You know, Proverbs says there's a guy who scatters. In other words, a guy who gives away, and yet he's just increasing. There's someone that withholds all the time, and they're becoming poorer day by day. You know, it's an amazing thing, right? God makes it very clear. Scatter your money, it will increase. Hoard too much, and you will be poor. It doesn't make sense in the world, right? You know, I mean, you know, the world says something totally different. The world says get as much as you can and put a lid on it, right? I mean, just store it, hoard it up. You know, I hear this all the time from people, and I just be honest, right? Because I'm usually pretty honest. I get sick to my stomach when I hear it all the time. You know, so here's some hotshot banker. You know, hey man, I'm gonna get $10 million before I'm 40. I'm gonna retire. That's it? You know, are you serious? What a loser! You know what I mean? I mean, give me a break. You think you're a stud? Because you know, it's like so ridiculous. I hear it so many times. You know, I mean, not from anyone at church, right? But it's your friends that you work at, right? Work with. You know, this guy's got this goal in their life. You know, they're going to make X millions of dollars and then they're just going to retire. You know, I'm like, God, you know, surely there's something better to do with your life than that. You know, what, are you going to play golf the rest of your life? You know, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? And things, but that's the mindset of the world, right? get as much as you can, and when you get it, hold on to it as tight as you can, right? But that's not the law of prosperity. The law of prosperity says, give it away, and it will increase in your life. It's amazing, right? I tell you this story. I tell the story all the time. You guys are probably sick of it by now. You know, years ago, this is when God was really challenging me. And for the first time, you guys know I grew up I was an accountant, but God, you know, I quit the job to go into full-time ministry. And so I was a youth pastor. You know, actually, when I went in, I only had a part-time salary, you know, and I tell you, I barely had it to make rent, you know, and to pay for a little bit of groceries. And then, you know, with my tithing and giving, you know, I every month it was negative, right? But God just provided, you know. And then after a period of time, God really blessed me with this job at a university, you know. And so I was doing pretty well for the first time, you know. And so, you know, I felt good, right? Obviously, as someone should. And I was at an evening service one time, and a friend of mine came to speak at it. And he started talking about the spirit of generosity. And I'm going to be touching on this in a few weeks. And as he was speaking about the spirit of generosity, he basically at the end of, you know, our time, you know, so we got about 400 college students in the cafeteria in our school. And he finishes and he tricks us, right? And he says, everyone here that God is blessing your life right now financially, I want you to stand up, right? And I stood up. I was like, yeah, God's blessing me, man. This is awesome, right? Woo, I feel good, you know? And stuff, and then he pulled a fast one on us. And then he goes, now, everyone else that maybe you're not doing so well financially, I want you to stand up. Right? And obviously, we were the blessed ones were outnumbered by the non-blessed ones, right? And in this, especially in the Christian university setting. And so a bunch of these people stood up. And then my friend said, why don't you ask God and pray who you're going to go to? And then when you go to them, ask God how much you're supposed to give. Right, and now the mood wasn't so fun anymore, right? And so I said, okay. And so I prayed. I closed my eyes. I said, okay, Lord, speak to me. You know, no big deal, right? And so I went to this girl, and I forgot her name. I'll remember in a second. But I went to her, and I said, hey, hello. You know, she knows me. I'm the campus pastor, and so we're talking. And then so we get to the part, let's pray now. Let's pray how much you're to give. So I closed my eyes, and I said, okay, Lord, you know, hit me, you know, give me a figure. And stuff, and as soon as I closed my eyes, this figure came into my mind, you know, and my first thought was, surely, Lord, this is not you, right? I mean, this has to be the devil. And so I kid you not, I actually rebuked it, you know, and I had the figure came into my mind, I said, in Jesus' name, no. Lord, this is not you. You know, you would not ask me to do something like this. And I said, no. And I said, okay, come on. God, serious, come on, okay. I'm going to close my eyes again. I'm going to ask you again how much I'm supposed to give, right? And the same figure came up. And I said, God, I don't even have that in my bank account. You know, I mean, what are you doing? You know, and I said, Lord, this is not you. You know, and so it's like a third time almost. And right when I was about to close my eyes to pray again, I heard the word be generous, right? Actually, to be better, I heard the word extravagance. You know, and the Lord spoke very clear to my heart and said, Sam, I want to show my extravagant love to my daughter. You know, and after that, I was like, okay. And so I turned to, you know, so-and-so, and I said, you know what? The Lord's put this figure in my heart. I just want to bless you. I told her what it was, you know, and she just broke out. She's weeping and weeping and weeping, you know. And I mean, honestly, I said, you know, tomorrow, come to my office. I'm going to write you a check. But I have to post-date the check because I don't have any money in my account. And so would you please cash it next week? You know, I mean, I was so embarrassed, right? I mean, I can't even, you know, but it's the law of release, you know? And because, see, for the longest time, I said, God, you gave me this job, right? I firmly believe it. God, you gave me this job. God, that account is your account. It's not mine. It's your. It belongs to you. You're letting me use it. So thank you for that, God. You know, and very clear, but then when I get challenged to give beyond my means, something else happens. It's a law of release. See, he who scatters, increase comes. You hoard it, and it doesn't come. Let me finish off the story, right, because it ends really well. You know, right around that time, I was actually looking to buy a house. You know, that's why I was kind of saving a little bit of money. and just a little bit of money, you know, and it's not, nothing was happening. You know, after the release, right? And I believe with all my heart, after that release, you know, I don't know what, somehow what happened. I was getting money in the mail. You know what I mean? I mean, people were sending me checks in the mail for thousands of dollars. You know, it was just the craziest thing. You know, and so, you know, I got together, and all of a sudden, you know, I found this house. It was, you know, about a mile away from the beach in Newport, and the guy was selling it below market. I mean, it was just the craziest situation. You know, I'll share the testimony some other time. You know, and I bought this house way below market, you know, and I had just barely enough money to pay for the down payment and pay for the escrow. I mean, amazing. It's a law of release. You know, it's almost as if, you know, God was, you know, I don't want to use the word testing me, but it was just seeing what was in my heart. You know, that if I'm challenged, because I'm asking God to bless me, right? I'm asking God, Lord, I would love to purchase a house, God. You know, I'm asking God for these things, but he's wondering, am I able to release as well, right? Is that part of, it's a heart thing, you know what I mean? I mean, it's really an issue of the heart. You know, I'm actually in a process. I'm preparing, obviously, messages for this, but I'm preparing a message kind of dealing with this whole financial crisis. And I really want God to download to me. You know, and the more, man, I don't want to, you know, throw myself forward here, but the more and more I study this, it's an issue of a heart, right? It's really an issue of love more than anything else. And we'll get into that in a few weeks. And so, the world says, get all you can, keep the lid. God says, give, and it will be given to you. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. This is another verse that you should have jotted down. Luke says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Right? So the world says, grab it as much as you can and hold on to it as tight as you can. And the Lord's, right? That's the law of poverty. The law of prosperity says, give, and it will be given to you. And see, notice the way that God does, right? Because remember we said last week, you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. And so he says, give, and God says, you know what I'll do? I'll give in return. Spilling over, pressed down, shaken together. I mean, it's like just spilling all over the place. That's what God gives in return, right? And so that's what we're talking about. It's the law, right, of release, the law of release. Release and increase, retain and decrease, right? It doesn't make sense. I know. I mean, I hope you figure this out, right? The Bible is full of paradox. You know what the Bible says? You want to be strong, you got to be weak, right? You want to be rich, you got to be poor. You know, you want to be first, you got to be last. You know what I mean? It's like the Bible is full of paradox, and this is one of those paradoxes. You scatter, you give away, increase will happen in your life. You don't believe me? Let's do a quick little survey. How many of you guys here, right, since you've been tithing, given to the Lord, that you've seen increase in your life financially? Raise your hand nice and high. Come on, church, right? I mean, it's amazing, right? There's an economic law, you know, a God economic law that comes to effect. Last week, I need to clarify something. Last week, you know, I mentioned about tithing and offering. Now, I said, you know, tithing gets you face to face with God, right? And offering is where the increase comes. Now, don't get me wrong. Tithing releases a blessing, right? Because tithing is an issue of obedience more than anything else. Whenever you obey God, blessing flows, right? And so I need to clarify that, you know, to make it clear for us. And so when you release, you know, when you're able to give, you know, and scatter the seed in essence, right, you're opening yourself up for the cycle of God's economics to begin to run into your life. Right? It's just one of those things, as you walk in obedience, right, things begin to really happen. You know, and I'll tell you how many times my wife and I, we just obeyed God, you know, regardless of our circumstances, we just obeyed God, you know, when he asked us to give or do something, you know, and just God, just that cycle just begins to flourish in our lives, I mean, it's really one of the most amazing things that I've seen. You know, it's really, in essence, it's the art of letting go. You know, can I just be honest with you guys? Some of us, we hold on to things just so tight. So tight. Right? Just this white knuckle faith. Oh, we just hold on. You know, the only way you get to receive is to open your hands and let go. Right? You know, Martin Luther, he says, God gives to hands that are open. You know what I mean? But if you're holding things so tightly, you know, because that when you hold it tight, it's in your domain. But when you release, it's in God's domain. Right? And the cycle by which God wants to work in our lives to bring that prosperity is releasing that. Amen? Amen. Reward, release. The third one is receive. Receive. Remember the lame man at the Gate Beautiful in Acts chapter 3, verse 5? It says that he was expecting to receive something. Now, as a believer, if you expect to receive something, that doesn't mean you're a greedy person. You know what I mean? You know, it doesn't mean that you have some kind of character flaw. You should expect to receive. Plain and simple, right? I mean, you should expect. And not just because you're giving, but because you're a child of God. Right, you should expect that you'll receive something from the Lord. You know, the lame man, right, went away because he expected to receive, and he received. Peter and John said, silver and gold I have none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk. Remember he says he was walking and leaping and praising God. Why? Because he expected to receive, and he received. See, there's something about that. The scriptures in Mark, he says, look, when you ask God for something, right, pray and ask that you've already received it, and it says it will be done unto you. Do you see? It's past tense. And so you need to be in that place of expectation. I expect to receive. And this is, and that's the attitude that God wants when we ask Him in prayer. Right? Whatever you say, whatever you ask in prayer, pray and believe that you've already received it and it should be granted to you. See, it's faith. It's faith. Right? And so, you know, as a child of God, I should always be in a position to receive. This man accepted to receive, and he did. You know, and in the same way, we should expect to receive. You know, you guys know my good friend Eric Lehman. You know, Eric, years ago, there was a guy that came up. He was preaching at a church at a revival. A guy came up to him, and apparently, I guess he was a wealthy guy. And he just came up and he said, you know what, Pastor Eric, I, you know, God's blessed me in my life, and, you know, I've got some funds and whatnot, and I want to, you know, I wanted to donate it. You know, I want to give it, you know, to your mission, things that you're doing. And stuff, and Eric, you know, is kind of a young pastor back in the days, and he said, oh, no, it's okay, you know, the Lord bless you, man. And the guy said, okay, and he walked out, you know, and he learned right from that moment. He says, you know, I'm no longer going to have any false humility. If someone wants to give me stuff, I'm just going to receive, right? And so we always say, receive, 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 you know. And so I tell you, you want to give me something, I'll receive it, you know. Trust me, I'm not going to say, oh, it's okay, brother, you know. Bless you, you know, give this, no, you want to give it to me, I'll take it. You know, I mean, am I greedy? No, right? It's about positioning yourself to receive. You know, quite frankly, a lot of us, we're quite prideful. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, someone offers you a compliment. Man, you look really good. Will, you look really good today. You know, well, usually the guys take compliments pretty well, but, you know, like... You know, most guys are like, yeah, you bet I look good, you know. So, well, you know, like I go to a female, oh, man, you look wonderful today. Oh, no. Not this old thing, you know. You know what I mean? It's like, that's like pride. You know, I mean, it's a very small sliver, right? But it's just say, yo, thanks, yeah. Man, yeah, I do look good today. You know what I mean? You just receive. And, you know, like we have such a hard time receiving compliments. You know, we have a hard time receiving blessing. Just as a child of God, position yourself to receive, right? You shouldn't feel bashful, right? You shouldn't feel like you're greedy or something. You know, that's not the case. This is the law of prosperity. You know, Jesus was always willing to give, and he was always willing to receive. Did you ever hear Jesus said no, right? The woman comes with an alabaster jar of expensive perfume, a year's worth of wages. Do you see Jesus said, no, that's okay. Why don't you go feed your family? You know, actually, why don't you go feed your whole village, you know, for a year? No, he doesn't say that. He just says, hey, this deed that was done to me, right? It's going to be spread out all over the world whenever. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that Jesus said. Jesus was the primary best receiver, right? He was always receiving. You know, theologians say that Jesus is actually a pretty wealthy guy. You know, I mean, he didn't have a house or anything. He's kind of wild, but, you know, as he went and traveled, you know, people gave him gifts all the time. Think about this. He had so much money in a money box that the guy that was taking care of the money box can pilfer money from it. You know, so he doesn't have 15 Hong Kong dollars in the bank. You know what I mean? And so there's quite a substantial amount of money. So this guy is siphoning money here and there. Remember Judas, that's what the Bible says. Judas is siphoning money and no one notices. There's a lot of money in there. You know what I mean? And stuff. And I mean, that's kind of the condition because Jesus was always receiving. Now, this is a side note. If you're only receiving and not giving, pretty soon you will no longer be receiving. Okay? Just pretty clear, you know? And stuff. And at some point, and this is kind of a side note, but you know, at church, right? You know, I'm not talking about money right now. But at some point in coming to church for a period of time, you know, that you may be receiving, receiving, receiving. At some point, there comes a point where you start giving and giving and giving. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about service. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about sharing. You know, I'm talking about helping people out, right? You know, I mean, if you're new, man, receive all you want, right? 6 months, you have a receive-free period. You know, you knock yourself out, receive everything, right? Eventually, and no one's going to say, hey, it's about time you start giving now. No one's going to say that. But you know what? It's a natural overflow of being a recipient. Because you receive so much, you just want to give. You know, and I'll tell you this, spiritual growth will be stunted, right, when we stop that process. Because we receive and we give, we receive and we give, we receive and we give. Right? This is the cycle of prosperity. In our life, the cycle of poverty is we receive and it just gets stuck there. We receive and it just gets stuck, right? And then what we have, we just have big fat Christians all the time, you know? You know what I mean? Like belong on Discovery Channel, need to get your stomach stapled and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's important. Just throw that out, cross that out, right? Right? Jesus was a good receiver. Countless times in scriptures, we see him receiving food, receiving lodging, receiving gifts, receiving even the use of a donkey, right? Jesus freely gave, but he was also willing to freely receive. Right, that's what it's about. Right, he was always willing to freely receive. Don't ever apologize for receiving. Right, you know, many times pride will get in the way of this. You know, Proverbs 16:8. I'll just read it for you. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling. Don't let your false humility harden your mind and keep you from receiving from God or from others. When Jesus said it was more blessed to give than to receive, he didn't say that we're not to receive. You know what I mean? I mean, he said that, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. He didn't say, but don't receive now, right? He says, you give and you receive and you give and you receive, you give and receive and go on and so forth. There was a professor at Dallas Seminary years ago, and, you know, really well-known professor, did really well, you know, in his studies and whatnot, and, you know, provided very well for his family and everything. And he had a student that came from Africa, and he kind of knew the student situation, and the guy was poor. I mean, had a very difficult time. You know, and he had, you know, family, kids, you know, he was, you know, came over from Africa, a seminary student, you know, adjusting to life in America. And after class one day, this African student came up to this professor, you know, and he basically gave him a gift. You know, it was like $20, you know, and on a note it said, please take your wife out for dinner. You know, let me bless you, right? And the professor got the gift and he's like, what? I can't take this from you. You know, I mean, I have so much and you have so little. And so he called the student in and says, you know, I'm sorry, I just can't receive this from you. You know, this is not, you know, how can I, understanding your situation and what's going on in your life. And, you know, I mean, I'm the one who should be giving you, you know, and so I can't take this. And the African student, full of faith, full of the Spirit, and said, Professor, do not rob me of this opportunity to receive blessing from God because I'm giving to you. And the professor said, okay, forgive me, Lord, you know, and stuff. And so he took his wife to McDonald's, right? This is a true story. You know, I mean, $20, right? He took his wife to McDonald's, and he said him and his wife wept the whole meal, thanking God for this generosity and this provision. It's amazing. It's amazing. That was probably the best meal he's ever had in his life, the best Big Mac he's ever eaten in his whole life. You know what I mean? Because see, the blessing is flowing, right? Because see, if someone's offering you something and you say no, you cut off that chain of blessing that flows. You know, you rob someone. You know, I'll tell you a story. My mom, right? My mom, after a period of time, she was doing a lot of fundraising. And in the beginning of missions in Uzbekistan, my mom was helping a lot of kids that had TB, you know, and they had, you know, a lot of various diseases and whatnot. And she would raise money from Korea and the States, and she'd provide, you know, get them basically to get treatment. And so the greatest thing is you see these little kids, well, they're not so little anymore, but my mom literally saved their lives. You know, because they, you know, got some donors and, you know, provided for them. And so what happened, a period of time, my mom went to Korea, and she just had a lot of favor, and she would go off to a lot of the Christian radio stations, and she'd share testimony about what's going on with the, you know, the illnesses and their church and whatnot. And out of the blue one day, this guy calls up after she heard my mom, on the radio. Guy calls up and says, you know, can we meet, you know? And he actually didn't show up. It was actually his assistant or someone. I don't quite get the full story. But the guy never showed up, but he came and he said, you know, I'm representing so-and-so, and he heard you on the radio, and God just really, you know, moved in his heart, and he wants you to have this to help these kids. And the amount, he actually was a retired teacher. He just retired. In Korea, apparently, and correct me if I'm wrong, in Korea, they have like a retirement package. What they do for teachers, they actually give them a lump sum after they retire. You know, and that's basically all the money they have to live on after they quit teaching. And so this guy gave his whole lump sum to my mom. Everything, his whole retirement package. He had just retired, and he gave this whole thing to my mom. Well, my mom actually heard this, and he said, no, I can't take this from you. You know, there's no way. And, you know, he's an old man, lives by himself. He actually, you know, so my mom got some of the story. He actually helps other elderly people, you know, especially elderly people that are rejected by society. In other words, they have like a bad son, you know, and he doesn't take care of the family, like, you know, kind of the Confucius paternal thing that they're supposed to be doing, you know. And so he doesn't do that. And so he actually takes care of these old people, you know. And I mean, this is just crazy stuff, you know, that's going on here. And you know, my mom says, no, I can't take this. You know, and finally the guy comes back, you know, and says, listen, do not rob me. Same thing, right? It must be heavenly phrase or something, right? He says, do not rob me of this opportunity to sow into God and to really receive from God. You know, and so my mom was just she was just weeping. You know, and years, she was telling me this story years later, and just weeping as she's telling me this story, you know, about how God just really blessed her, you know. And it was such an important time, because during that time, they were going through such a difficult time, you know, financially and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, and a point, my mom and dad were wondering, should we be here in Uzbekistan, God? Or it's such a difficult time, you know. And after that happened, you know, the download that my mom got from God was, Lord, if you could trouble this retired teacher to provide for this, then I think you're in our ministry. I think you're doing something. And so they decided to stay, and, you know, and my dad's still there. It's amazing. See, you never know what that gift does. You know what I mean? I mean, for me, I've been so amazed sometimes. You know, I'll sit and pray, and God will ask me to give to someone or whatnot. You know, and I'll just obey. I don't know what's going on. And it's amazing that afterwards I hear this story, like, you know what? I had no money. And I actually prayed to God that day, you know, and God answered my prayers. It's amazing. See, you never know how that works. You know what I mean? See, I'll say it this way. There's always someone at the end of your obedience. I'll say it again. There's always someone at the end of your obedience. Right? We don't just do something just for the heck. You may not know who's at the end, but there's someone at the end. Every prayer that you offer, you know, we pray this, right? I mean, I walk around Hong Kong, I say, Lord, bless Hong Kong. God, there's someone struggling right now, probably. Lord, just bless them, do something in their life. That prayer is pinpointing someone in Hong Kong. See, there's someone at the end of that obedience. You know, and we need to recognize this in our lives, right? So we need to go understand receiving. You need to receive. Because see, when you receive, it releases that cycle of blessing, right? Of God's prosperity that He wants to flow in the life of the giver, also in the life of the receiver. You know what I mean? I mean, it's humbling. You know? I mean, it's humbling to receive a gift. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about a birthday gift, right? Which really is one of the most craziest things, because you didn't really do anything, you know, to be born. If anything, your parents should get a gift, right? And stuff. So, but we get a gift on our birthday, you know, and things. And so, you know, when you think of it, it's humbling when you receive a gift. You know, it's like, because I, you know, for me, I know, well, people work hard, right? I know what goes on. I know the long hours and whatnot. And for them to want to give a gift to me or to someone, there's a lot of stuff attached to that. It's not just money. You know, we're actually going to talk about that next week, about money. It's not just money. It's your life that you're giving, right? Because that money is your work. It's the time that you spend. You know, it's your emotional energy. It's your intellectual energy. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. You know, and so there's something about that. And so you need to be someone that learns to receive, right? The laws of poverty and prosperity. Reward, release, receive. If you don't receive, right, now you put into effect the law of poverty, right? So you make sure you receive, right? So let's do this as simply as a way that we'll remember, right? Just say, I receive, I receive, I receive. Go ahead, come on, church. Right? You know, and say with a smile, Lord, I receive, I receive, I receive, you know? Don't worry, we're not a cult, right? Don't worry. And stuff. It's just real simple. It's the law of receiving. The last part, right, number four, is reaping. Or easy, better to say, is sowing and reaping. Right? When a farmer puts a seed into the ground, he doesn't just get back one seed, right? You know, I mean, anyone have done any farming or, you know, even did like a chia pet when you were little or, you know, did some kind of project in elementary school, right? When he puts a seed in the ground, a divinely ordered process begins, right? The seed produces a stalk of corn, then the stalk produces several ears of corn, and each ear produces hundreds of new seeds from one seed. Right? This is the law of sowing and reaping. Right? The farmer first has to sow seed first, then there can be a harvest. Right? The more seed he sows, the greater the harvest. Right? We all understand this. Hey, can we turn the air back on? Right? Here and there. It's kind of hot in here. Okay? You know, the more seed he sows, the greater the harvest. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6 and 7. I'm going to read a different translation that you have. This is the message. This is Eugene Peterson's, right? 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. This is his translation. I actually like this better than the one that you have. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. Right? Just like this. Remember, a stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. See, every day, we make a choice to sow some seed or to eat the seed, right? That's really, we have a choice every single day. You can sow it or you can eat it, you know? At some point, and obviously, you have to eat, okay? And so there's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with spending money on yourself. You know, don't get me wrong on this. It's perfectly legitimate, you know? But at some point, right, when you exercise faith, right, and you sow some of your seed, you release God's law of prosperity. Right? When we give into the fears, right, and we eat our seed or we hide our seed, right, then we release the law of poverty in our lives. Right? Don't let circumstances rule you. You know what I mean? Don't let it rule you. You know, they may tell you that you cannot sow anything right now. That's not true. Right? Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he who watches the wind will not sow. He who looks at the clouds will not reap. Right? Very simple. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Right? Don't let your circumstances dictate, right, your ability to sow. You can always sow. If you listen to any decent financial planner, they'll tell you the same thing. No matter, even if you feel like you don't have, always put something away. Right? I mean, you hear that all the time, right? Well, I'm going to watch CNBC for a little bit. You hear these kind of things all the time. You know, and it's the same principle that applies here, right? You sow in all circumstances, right? In all circumstances. Ecclesiastes 11:6, a few verses later, it says, sow your seed in the morning and do not be idle in the evening, right? In other words, he's talking about first fruits, right? You sow it, and right when it comes nighttime, he's basically saying you'll be pretty busy, right? You're going to be busy reaping, right? Sow in all circumstances, and then you'll reap. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, verse 6 through 9. Galatians 6, 6 through 9. And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. And do not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we not grow weary. Right? God's spiritual law of prosperity says, sow the seed, in due season reap the harvest, and what you sow is what you reap. Okay? Very simple, right? Now, you have to understand this very clearly. As we sow into the gospel of Christ, we will reap his harvest, okay? The timing of his harvest will come in due season. Think about this. A farmer does not go out on Tuesday, plant a seed, and expect a harvest on Wednesday. Makes sense, right? It's just common sense, right? A farmer doesn't go out on Tuesday and expect, okay, I'm going to reap on Wednesday. The Bible says it will come in due season, right? In due season. You know, I know that's how big it is. I don't know how long that is. For some of you, that season could be a day. You know, for some of you, that season could be years. But God promises in his time, the bounty, the harvest will come. I think what a lot of us have a problem with is the due season part, right? You know, we sow, right, and it's fine, and we're expecting to reap, but it just doesn't quite happen. And so we get so discouraged that we don't sow anymore. Right? But see, you sow in all circumstances and you will reap in due season. It will come. The harvest will come. That's God's promise. The Bible says his promises are yes and amen. In other words, they're going to happen. It's a done deal. Right? You will reap whatever you sow. Now think about a farmer. Our farmer sows apples. What does he reap? Apples. Right? There's no guy that's going to, you know, sow cucumbers and expect corn to come out. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just a bad farmer or a farmer with an incredible imagination. You know, it's just not the way it works. If you sow apples, you will reap apples. Think about this. If you sow good deeds, you will reap good deeds. If you sow love, you will reap love. If you sow money, you will reap money. If you sow good deeds, you'll reap good deeds, not finances. Do you understand that? Right? Because you reap what you sow. Right, and so there's a kind of a delineation here in a lot of ways. You know, like farmers, they understand this principle. They know they can reap only the kind of harvest they sow into the form of seed. It's plain and simple. You reap, you sow, right, works, you will reap works. You sow finances, you will reap finances. Right, it's a one-to-one correlation. Right, so let's take a step back here. Let's kind of summarize this. God gives power to gain wealth. This is what God does, right? God wants you to prosper. Amen? Come on. I mean, that's amen worthy right there.
Amen.
Right? God wants you to prosper. Now, is it so that you can just be fat, right? I mean, this is one of our main things we say at church, right? God bless you to be a blessing. Right? That's the key, friends, right? You know, God didn't bless me, right, just so, you know, I could just be blessed. You know, walk around, man, I'm blessed. I am so blessed. I just can't believe how blessed I am. It's amazing I'm so stinking blessed. Well, that's not the point. I'm blessed to be a blessing, right? This is the economics, right? This is the flow that happens here. So God wants you to prosper. Hard workers will have plenty, right? There's reward there. You know, if you do not work hard, you will not eat. Right? Plain and simple. Jesus was a giver and a receiver. Right? Both. Very important. You will reap what you sow. Sow all the time. Don't look at your circumstances. And in due season, you will reap a harvest. Amen? Let's close our eyes. You know, what I find a blessing in a lot of ways is that God gives us the opportunity. It's amazing. If you sow, you can reap. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is not a works mentality gospel. Because has nothing to do with the gospel. Or I should say more issues of salvation. What we're dealing here is the principles of living the Christian life. Issues of the Christian faith are another matter. This is the issue of the Christian life. And if you sow, you will reap. If you learn to release, you bring into operation, right? The economics of God's laws. The law of prosperity. I'm going to say this, and I don't want you to feel I'm being judgmental or anything like that. I just throw it out there. I'm making no judgments on anyone or anything. But if you're having a very difficult time in your finances, are you giving? Are you putting into effect God's law of prosperity? Or are you hoarding? And not even hoarding, do you find it difficult to release? Because that may be what's causing. I don't know. I'm not putting a one-to-one correlation. I just throw that out there. For some of us that need to hear it. Next week we're going to take it another step deeper. So after these 5 weeks or so, you're going to have a good grasp of this. But are you operating in the cycle? I mean, just through the matter, are you operating in a cycle of prosperity or poverty? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And then obey. Just simply obey. Thank you, Jesus. Just want to encourage you to spend time with the Lord and just allow the Holy Spirit to download this message into your hearts. Are you living in poverty or prosperity? You don't be the judge. Let Holy Spirit be the judge. To move in your heart. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Activity a little bit, okay? If you're a person here today, right, and you are either one having a difficult time financially, It doesn't mean that you're not giving or no, don't nothing attached to that. But circumstances are such a way in your life right now where it's a bit difficult. You know, regardless, you don't have to explain. We don't, you know, I don't care if you spent, you know, $50,000 on Gucci shoes and that's why you're in this situation. I don't care, okay? And so, but you're in a financial situation. And it's going to require a lot of humility on your part, right? Or the another two thing is that you're a person and you have a difficult time receiving, period. Right? This doesn't mean that, you know, I mean, you could be a millionaire, but you just have a difficult time receiving. I want you to stand up right now. So I knew this was a risk. This is going to dictate how close our church is. Right? Yeah, thank you, my friends. Anyone else? You either are having a difficult time financially or you have a difficult time receiving. Right? I don't care if you have $1 million in the bank. Okay? Now, the rest of the body, right? You guys that are standing up, just close your eyes. Right? Make like no one's here. Now, the rest of us, I want you to pray right now. And I'm going to ask God to tell you, number one, who to go to. 10 people go to one person, right? That's more than double portion, okay? That's fine, okay? But I want you to pray. This is a church thing, right? You know, the Bible says, now I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit more, but he says very clearly that if we cannot provide for our own household, that we're worse than an unbeliever. Obviously, that's referring to a family, but I'm going to broaden that and refer to a church family. If we can't take care of the needs of our family at church, we are worse than a church. We don't deserve to be a church, okay? And so what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to pray, and I'm going to ask you for God to speak to you. I'm going to pray for you, and God's going to speak to you, and you're going to go to one of these people. And then when you go to these people, I want you to lay your hands on them. And just simple thing, I said, Lord, just give me an amount, plain and simple, okay? Just give me an amount. Does this sound okay? So I'm going to pray for us right now. We're going to do this together as a group, right? And you guys can, you know, and you know, you guys that are standing, this is a very humbling thing. And so I thank you for your humility, your heart. It's amazing, right? I'm just blessed already. You know, and I haven't even given a cent yet, okay? And so, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our community right now. Lord, I know that you have interconnected people with one another. And in our community, God, Lord, we have friends that are dealing with things financially. Lord, most of it not even to their own accord. It's just circumstance, God. Lord, we place no judgment on them whatsoever. But we understand that life is sometimes like this. And so, Lord, we ask you to speak to us that we could be a blessing. You blessed us. Now speak to us, God. In Jesus' name. Now, if you get a sense of anything, right, I want you to go to that person. Whatever it may be, just go and just lay your hands and just pray for them and just ask God, Lord, what would you have me give? You have blessed me? God, what do you want me to give? Huh? All over this place. If God has not spoken or you're new, relax, chill out, no worries, right? But if you really sense that God put something in your heart, and maybe you just know you want to do something, but God doesn't put anyone in your heart, there's a few people that are standing, and just go to them. Don't worry, you don't have to whiff your wallet out right now. Don't worry about the transaction. Just worry about what God's doing right now. Anyone else? If you feel like God's leading you, just go to that person right now. Now, when the Lord gives you that figure, whatever it may be, it may not even be money. You just be responsible this week to take care of it, okay? If you would rather it go through the church, you just come talk to me. And we'll do it that way. Okay? Plain and simple. I want you to pray as God speaks to you. I want you to obey. Christian life is so simple. And then, I'm going to ask you just to pray for them and just bless them. Just bless them. Say, Lord, just bless my friend. Lord, bless this daughter of yours. Thank you. You guys that are receiving, you just receive right now from the Lord. He's touching your heart right now. You receive the fullness of that. You deserve that. There's nothing wrong with you. You deserve God's touch on your life. You deserve to be prosperous. You deserve the blessing of the Lord to flow through your life. That's yours. You're right as a child of God. So you appropriate that in your life. You grab a hold of that. If you need a prophetic act, open your hands up and you just receive from the Lord. Lift your palms to God and you just receive from God. Everyone else, even in your chairs, just begin to receive from the Lord. And I appropriate, God, the law of prosperity in my life. Thank you, Jesus.
I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of my...
So I'll rise to our feet. As you can continue to pray for them, I want you to connect with them sometime today. And just share what God put on your heart, okay? But you take it on your own time. Let me just pray for us today and we'll close our service. Father, we thank you. Oh, we thank you for a spirit of generosity, God. Oh, we thank you, God, that you have instituted, God, in our lives, God, the laws, the cycles of prosperity, Lord. And we recognize, God, that you want us to be prosperous, Lord, that we can be a blessing to others, God. Lord, that we don't hoard this in. And Lord, as we give, Lord, more will be given so we can give even more. And then we can receive more, and then it'll be given more, and then back and forth. God, I love this cycle, God. Lord, this is what you do. This is the kingdom of God, living and active in the church, living and active in the world, God, that goes against, God, the mindset, Lord, God, that really has brought this calamity, God, to this earth. Lord, would you release it in the midst of us? Lord, break that law of poverty over our lives and release the spirit of generosity, God. We thank you. Watch over us this week, God. Lord, show us how we can be generous all through the week. Not just with finances, God, but with our time, with our love and care, with good deeds. We bless you. We thank you. God, we love you so much. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord will cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Don't you hug someone next to you, huh? Connect with these people that you share your heart with and prayers with. If you need the money to flow through me, that's fine. Have a great week this week.